Joy to meet each other again on this new Lord's Day. And may the Lord bless us this day with the words of Psalm 18, in which David says, "I will love the Lord, my strength, for the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength in whom I trust." And let us also pray this morning that we together may have something of that spirit of joy, of trust, and of worship. So let us now come together before the Lord in prayer and receive His blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in Thy name. In Thee who has made the heavens and the earth. In Thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of Thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's sing together with Psalter 2, 6, 9, senses 1 through 4. All people that dwell on the earth, your songs to Jehovah now raise. So we sing 269, and we'll sing 1 through 4. Let us now give attention to the reading of God's holy law. And notice the context of that is always in the context of redemption, as God reminds His people in that portion of their deliverance from Egypt. And so the law of God is the rule of life, even today. And in reflection on the reading and hearing of God's law, let us sing 138, verse 1. 3 and 4, in which God speaks to His people about their lack of obedience. So let us consider those words as well as we sing them. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Man, Scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 31. There are over 500 occurrences in the Bible where God compares himself to a shepherd and his people as sheep. And also again in this chapter, you notice the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. So let us read these verses this morning from Jeremiah 31, verse 10 through 34. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou to me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still, and therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up way marks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and of the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. And in those days they shall no more say, The fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. And everyone that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days shall come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law on their inward parts, and write it on their heart. And we'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What precious and sacred promises these are. Well, let us in prayer remember in thanksgiving also that we can see Brian here this morning, having at least recovered in such a way that he can share this hour of worship with us once again. There's been grief and sorrow in other families. Arnie and Holly are here today from their honeymoon, but yesterday afternoon Arnie's grandfather passed away, Mr. Block, who was here 3 weeks ago on the front bench to witness their wedding. And now we may hope and believe he is on a better wedding that he was speaking of. And I sat by his bedside on Friday afternoon. I asked him quietly, he says, Are you ready? And he says, Yes, I am waiting. And I can't wait any longer to enter into the glory. So I asked him, what's the basis of that hope, Mr. Block? And he says, His grace alone. Friends, if we may come to the end of our life like that, and it is no loss, is it? That it's a gain to be delivered from this body of death and this scene of dying in order to enter the glories of heaven. So let's remember in prayer also the family as they gather for the funeral this week. Let us pray. Faithful, merciful God and Father, of heaven and of earth, it is again in thy gracious and good providence that we may here gather this day with one another in this place that has been set aside, Lord, as a place where we seek to draw near to thee as congregation. And may we also, in all humbleness, remind thee of thy promise. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And Lord, that is a blessing, indescribable blessing, when we may sense this morning that thou also wilt draw nigh to us in thy grace and in thy mercy, making thyself known to us in a personal way, as David could confess, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And may that also, Lord, this morning be our portion, for the first time or by renewal, that we may again see the glory of thy greatness, and may experience thy shepherding ministry. O blessed Lord, we must acknowledge again it is only of thy mercies that we are not consumed with us and our children. That we live in this so beautiful area of the world where there is peace and where most of us experience great prosperity, where we have again a glorious day in which thou art shining the brightness and cheerfulness of the sunlight upon the awesome display of our season. Great is thy faithfulness, O God of heaven. Thou hast given us thy riches of goodness of long suffering and of forbearance to lead us to repentance. And Lord, how much it has led us to repentance, Thou knows best. But we pray this day that if it hasn't melted our heart, that we may this morning observe these blessings, even outwardly, and that our hearts be touched. O God, how worthy Thou art of all our praise and Thy glory, for why art Thou mindful of us men, sinners, missers of the great purpose for which we were created? And yet Thou not only dost visit us with Thy providential mercies, Thou art also working among this race with Thy saving mercies. Thou art raising men and women, boys and girls, from the spiritual death into spiritual life. And O God, what is that a great wonder? Be Thou so among us also today, as that Almighty Lord, that we may be enabled to worship Thee with all uprightness and humbleness. We lift up all those who are hindered to join us today. Jeanette Dirksen, Lord, as she's listening with us at home in her weakness of body. We remember Mrs. Friends in her very great weakness of body, as well as the so often unreachableness of her mind. But Lord, it is Thy hand that is holding them also, and prepare them a sanctuary today, if Thy word and spirit be near to them. Remember others, Lord, that may not be here because of weakness or sicknesses or hindered with other legal hindrances of sharing the hour of worship. But we also pray for those who are passing up the opportunities to be here this morning. O, will Thou graciously remember them and cause them, O God, to turn away from ways that are not profitable for the Spirit. Bless Thy word today to us. May it be bedewed with Thy Spirit's influences. O gracious Shepherd, there is none like Thee. Yet there are still many who don't know that, or who do not believe that. And though Thy people may speak and sing about Thee, David, Thou only can open the blind eyes. Thou only can untangle the lost sinner from all his idols. Thou art only able to convince us of the foolishness that we continue to drink of the fouled waters of this earth. It will be fatal, and it will not bring us any good. And therefore, O gracious Shepherd, seek Thou and save Thou those who are lost among us, even though they may not feel lost, and even though they may resist the idea of being lost. It is Thou alone who leads the sinners to the green pastures and to the still waters. And we pray, dear God, that Thy mighty working of the Holy Spirit may be evident, not only among us, but wherever the word is preached today or shared. We also pray for Duane as he is sharing Thy word today in Green Bay. And, O God, as he may confront people with the idolatry of their heart as they give their souls and their lives to the idols of this day, we pray that Thou would bless this means of reaching them with the word of God. We pray that Thou would feed Thy sheep and Thy lambs in our midst also today, that each may rest and be strengthened by the word of God today, and that we may be enabled again to take up, O Lord, our tasks in the week that is begun today. We must confess also as thy children, Lord, that we often wander away from Thy green pastures And we feed our mind with the worthless stubble of the earthly. Oh, we beseech thee this morning that thou would restore such backsliding people or sinners among us, that thou would lead us today also beside the still waters of the Word, and that we may experience, O God, the life-giving waters of the Word of God, and that it may strengthen, may restore, may comfort, may quiet and soothe our hearts in all the trials and afflictions of our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that thou would especially also remember our dear brother this morning. It is a joy that thou hast enabled him such a measure of strength again to at least also be here with us, the place where he longed to be for these last weeks. And Lord, may it please thee to give him and to give Kay the strength that they need with their children to go and journey through this so deep valley of affliction. Lord, we plead with thee that thou would restore his strength, that thou would enable him to gain weight again and to be stronger in his body, that thou would help him to see some hope and light also in the journey in which he goes, and that thou would strengthen him sufficiently that he may still receive the bone marrow transplantation in the time to come. And Lord, above all, wilt thou cheer their souls. Wilt thou give, Lord, that submission and that thankfulness and that faith necessary to be still and to know that thou art the Lord, the God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts, the refuge and strength in time of trouble. We thank thee that thou also help Mitch Jr., Rascom Jr., to come to the surgery. Lord, thou hast again given also there a blessing, and may the recovery of this young boy also be speedy. Bless Mitch and his wife, Lord, as they're also taking care of their father and father-in-law in his weakened condition. We pray that thou would strengthen the family also in those trials. We lift up Arnie and Holly. Thank thee, Lord, that thou brought them back safely from their honeymoon journey. But now also, as they as family face the reality of this life and the loss of their dear grandfather, we pray that thou would sanctify also this loss in their midst, and may it please thee to strengthen the whole family circle, Lord, as later in this week there also is a wedding of one of the other grandchildren. Though lay the joys and the sadnesses so close together in our life. Remember all those who have this past week also stood by the open graveside. We think of the family in Sheboygan, the Cott family, Lord, thou knowest their grief today as they now need to go forward again. But also others, even the family in Lethbridge, Alberta, who buried a 2.5-year-old child that was killed this week. Lord, we lift up this family circle as well with all their grief and pain. Well, thou remember Mark and Ruth Ann Neiser. Thou knowest, Lord, as Ruth Ann has entered yesterday into her sentence in the jail prison. Well, thou please be with this couple. Be with her in that environment. Will thou cause her yet to be a blessing there to the others that she rubs shoulders with. And may all this family, Lord, be constantly in our prayer. Also the grandparents as they take care of the young children. And so hear then our petitions this morning, as they are many. But Lord, our needs are never outdone by thy ability. And so wilt thou graciously and mercifully hear us this morning. Receive our gifts and offerings as a token also of our expression of worship. And may it be to the honor and to the glory of Thy holy name. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I also prayed for the Bauma family this morning. There was a grandchild of Harold Bauma. That would be a family member also of Laura Lee here, who this past week had a very tragic accident on their farm, and a grandfather actually backed up the skid loader over his 2.5-year-old grandchild. And he was buried on Wednesday, reminding us again of the dangers of these activities. So let us now sing together Psalter 286, 1, 2, 3, and 6. That is the song our children are learning together. So let us sing again, children, a faithful Creator who waters the hills and what follows. 286, 1, 2, and 3, and 6. And there is one collection today which is devoted to the general fund. Necessary for us from time to time to have a checkup. Checkup on your thinking in this case. Because I find myself often thinking wrongly about this life. In other words, we often look through the wrong glasses at our day-to-day journey. And that's not only when we're young, that's also when you're older. We dream a lot. And dreams are deceitful, we used to say to one another. But we dream a lot about this life not being what it really is. I've used the expression before, we are not living on a cruise ship. We're living on a sinking ship. We read our Bibles well, Genesis chapter 3 tells us that. It used to be a paradise. Today, it's a dying world. We are living on a dying globe. And you or I are part of that. If you have that perspective, well grained into your thinking, you will not be so surprised when things don't go well. That's the normal. On this planet, at least, it is. If it's a sinking ship, then every day that we survive on this sinking ship is grace. And every nice thing and beautiful thing that we receive is abnormal. And my dear friends, if that mindset is deeply ingrained in our heart, I think we will look at our day a lot differently and at our life a lot differently. We are in this world living today on a planet that is a land of groaning. This is not the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. See, that's depressing, Pastor. That's realistic. Won't you agree? As I was driving yesterday, I listened to a two-tape lecture out of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the preacher who was expounding on that book said, you know, that's not a cynical book of a soured old man who has finally lost all his joy in life. This is the most biblical, realistic book looking at the issues of life. Of a very wise man, the wisest of the world, Solomon. And all what we try to do is to upgrade this life to some kind of a utopia. We keep on dreaming about that. And God has never promised that. This is what He has promised. Behold, He says in Isaiah 65, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former, this one, shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Why not? Obvious. I look to your life, you look to my life, there's sorrows, there's griefs, there's losses, there's fears, there's the uncertainty. There's all kinds of things I don't want to remember about this life. And God says, behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. How much are we focused on that? Even those among us who are redeemed by God's grace. How much are you focused on the new heaven and the new earth rather than on this place? And must we not all say that we fail often to have the biblical mindset when it comes to life here and the life hereafter? Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, ran the race of His journey. And He had the exact right perspective about life on earth. Not here, but for the joy ahead of Him. And so He endured the race. Still, we are to journey through this wilderness. It's not an easy journey. We'll all face the variety of things in this journey that is unavoidable. It's unavoidable that I will get older and sicker. It's unavoidable that I'm going to lose some of my abilities. It's unavoidable that I'm going to disappear sometime. And so it is with you. It's unavoidable. These are the realities. And throughout this journey, we have to journey through a wilderness. And you say, how can we get refreshment in this rough world? And through these hot days and cold nights and these dry and dreary passages. Now, indeed, if you don't have the right shepherd, you don't get the refreshment. But if you do have the right shepherd, then he will make sure that as you journey through this life, that you will have the refreshment and the strength to keep up the journey till the end. And that's where the second verse of Psalm 23 leads us to this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Even in this world, he has green pastures. In this parched and barren place, God has prepared green pastures, and he leads his children there beside the still waters. Of God's help this morning, let's look at that second phrase of Psalm 23, verse 2. The shepherd's ministry of refreshing his sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Remember, this is the sheep looking with an admiration at his shepherd and reflecting on his care. He not only makes me to lie down in the green pastures where I've been eating, but he also leads me beside the still waters where we have been drinking. So let us consider this thought of the poet about the shepherd and his sheep, the shepherd's ministry of refreshing his sheep. Now we have to look at two things this morning. First, that sheep need water. And secondly, that the shepherd supplies these still waters in the gospel message. Now for us to understand Psalm 23 well, it's important that we don't think Wisconsin. You think biblical Judea or the highlands of what we today call Lebanon, where a lot of these shepherds shepherd their sheep. It's semi-arid. It's a rather dry place. There has the spring rains and the fall rains, and in between that, not much rain at all. For the sheep, actually, the best country. They don't like over moisture. That generates a lot of sickness. So for the sheep, they thrive well within these semi-arid areas. But yet, even though they are living in that semi-arid, they need daily water. A sheep is composed of 70% of water. That's even more than we humans are. He's an absolute need for a daily supply of water. That's important for his vitality. That's important for his intestinal process. That's important for the whole health of the sheep. And no sheep will survive in these hot and dry areas, at least not very long, without the daily, daily supply of water. Same true spiritually, isn't it? No sheep can find that water. And no, it's a shepherd's task. That's what he's doing the whole day. He's looking for the green pastures and he's looking for the water supply. He knows these two need to be met on a daily basis if his flock is to prosper. And so it is spiritually. There's a daily need for every sheep of Christ to have water. To have not only the green pastures to eat from, but the still waters together with that. You know, spiritually, how would any sinner get refreshment in this barren world was it not for the shepherd's diligence and the shepherd's work? It's not the sheep that supply the water. It's not even the sheep that find the water. It's all dependent on the shepherd. And he says, he leads me beside the still waters in order to drink. Now, water in the Bible is the imagery or the symbol of the Holy Spirit. He's often compared to water in various places. I will pour my spirit from the heavens like water. And so we see in green pastures the Word. You can see in the still waters the Holy Spirit. And these Jesus has put together when he says in John 10, I have come to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. And that life he brings to us through the messages of the Scripture. We need that ministry every day. We need that ministry all day, in every circumstance. We need this shepherd to take us beside the still waters and the green pastures. Now, not only does a sheep need daily water, they also need clean water. See, as the shepherd is leading his sheep, they will drink from any water they meet. If they're thirsty, even if there are potholes or little stagnant pools along the way, infested with all the insects, parasites, eggs, they'll drink of it. But of course, they shouldn't be drinking of that. For any time a sheep drinks of that polluted water and infested water, yeah, it will only bring internal sickness. It could even bring them to death. I wonder why so many true and genuine Christians are spiritually weak and sick today. Why would that be? Why is there so little vitality and strength and vigor and joy and an open mouth and a speaking tongue and a singing frame and a rejoicing heart? I'm asking you that question, those of you who confess yourself a child of God. Is that perhaps because you're also drinking all these potholes, these stagnant pools? We're drinking spiritually or mentally from the things that are polluted. How far and how much do we drink of the polluted fountains? And not only those who are thinking themselves or may know themselves as a sheep, children, young people. How much have you been drinking of this fountain of the Word this week? How much have you been exposing your mind and your thinking to all the potholes and the fountains of this sinful world? It's not going to do you any good. It's going to pollute your mind. It's going to affect your spirit. It's going to deaden and chill your soul. There is so much drinking from the broken cisterns, as God calls them in Jeremiah. Love to the world. Pleasures of the world. Inordinate love for the lawful things, clinging to this dying life as if there is no other future. You know, God calls that a double evil. He says in Jeremiah 2, let me just find that passage to read it to you. In Jeremiah chapter 2, he says in verse 13, my people have committed two evils. Notice that? Two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. That's the first. They're ignoring me. They're forsaking me. They're not coming to me. They have chosen to go drink somewhere else. And that's the second evil. What is the something else? They have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There's so many broken. Cistern is a place where water is held. That's a cistern. And they're broken. The water in there is putrid and stagnant and stinking. And yet God sees his people to go to those sources, the idols and the things of this world. So I want to, you need to examine yourself this morning. How much are we drinking of the wrong fountain? And how much are we indulging our mind with the things that are not spiritually going to strengthen, feed, correct, or nourish. So, sheep need daily water, sheep need clean water, but thirdly, sheep also need clean water. Still water, I mean. The Hebrew still waters literally says waters of quietness. Still waters. What are still waters? They're not just quietly flowing streams. Like a still flowing stream. Now that may be a still water, but it's not a still water in the shepherd's view. Why not? Well, In this rainless and this waterless hills where these shepherds are guiding their sheep, you do not find these quietly flowing streams. It's a hill country. And those of you who live in hill countries, you know that there are no quiet, placid streams in there. They are gurgling and bubbling and creeks that are coming down the mountains, and there's rocks in it, and there's currents and everything else. And sheep will never drink of any water that is fast flowing, gurgling and bubbling. They can't drink of it. It seems like the water goes in their nose instead of their stomach. But also afraid of it. But timid. You remember? Sheep are timid. They don't like the noise. So they will not drink of these odd streams that are there and there in the fields or in the mountainsides that are bubbly. So still waters, what are they then? There are generally three sources of still waters for the shepherd to find. And I'll take the least common first. The least common still waters that David would lead his sheep to are those cisterns or caverns that have been carved into the ground. It's hard work. There would be deep caverns that would lead to some deep spring of water. There would be steps down for the sheep to go down, and they would just lay down in that big cavern, and they would drink of the refreshing waters. But that's only possible if they were close to a water source. That's the first still water that the shepherd would lead his sheep to. Now, another still water was the water trough. There were places where the shepherd would make a water trough, and he would, with a pail, fill the water troughs out of the stream. And so the shepherd would say something, and all the sheep would lay down. And as they were laying down quietly, he would go and scoop the water out of the stream into the water troughs. And as I was reading this, I could just imagine that. And then he says he would make a certain sound, and part of the sheep would stand up and go to the water trough and drink out of the still waters. And then if they were done, they would lay down again, and the next group would come up. So he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now if there was no water trough, the shepherd would make his own water trough in the little creeks or the little brooks. He would make a little dam, children, with stones in the water. And behind that dam would, obviously, a little lake would form itself. And once it is filled with quiet, still waters, he would lead the sheep to those still waters. So that's the second way. But the third way is probably mostly what the shepherd would think about still waters. You know, a sheep can go for months without actually drinking any water, as long as there is dew on the grass. The wet, silvery, glistening dew of the morning hours would provide the sheep with enough moisture to last him to the day, to the next dew night after that. These are the still waters. This is the best of the still waters. It is the clearest, the purest, and the most splendid. And often, long before the dawn is even there, he would stir up the sheep and lead them out of the holding fold at night, and would lead them in the early morning dawn into the bedewed grass fields to make them drink the still waters. What a beautiful and what a biblical thought this is, congregation. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And after the shepherd would have fed his sheep, those sheep who had filled themselves with that wonderful grass-dewed water would go lay down in the shade to rest. And they would chew the cud or ruminate. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Those of you know of sheep. You fill a sheep with dry grass and hay and give him no water. he will eventually die. The grass will sit in his stomach like a big hard clump. I was reading the separate story of a sheep that had gone over the ledge because I'd gone over the cliff to a ledge that was down there, and he said there was beautiful green grass on that ledge. And he got a warning from others who said, there's one of your sheep on that ledge. So they went to get him. He'd been there probably 3 days. There was a beautiful green patch, but there was no dew and no water. He says, when we found the sheep, the grass was shorn off completely. We got the sheep out and he died a day later. So we butchered him up and checked out what he was. And he says, we found his stomach full of grass, like one hard ball. We need water. We need the Spirit. We don't need the Word of God. And how many of us perhaps are having just the Word of God without the stillness of the Holy Spirit's water drenching and filling our mind? And so, congregation, let's think about that a little bit more. Though the sheep sends the need of water, the shepherd sends it most. He knows his sheep will not thrive, will not be fed, will suffer and die without water. And there is one who knows best that you and I need the water of the Spirit. That's God. And therefore God repeatedly asked this question regarding prophet. I took my concordance out this week to look at all the text with the word prophet in it. That would be a profitable thing for you to do sometime this week. Look at all the text in which the word prophet comes. And here's a couple of them, where God is asking repeatedly a question. In the book of Job, Job asks, whereto might the strength of hands profit you? Strong hands. Good muscles. How is that going to profit you? In Proverbs 10, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. You can have all the treasures. You can have all the accumulation of material things. As I said next to this dying man this week, that didn't profit him. That didn't help him in these last moments. When you are facing the departure from this earth and to face the Creator. And no matter what he had gathered and accomplished in his life, that didn't help him at that moment. No, treasures of wickedness do not profit this congregation, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of this shepherd, that alone will help us and will deliver us from death. And here one more question. What profit does a man have of all his labors under the sun? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon knows. He tried to slake his thirst with every vanity you could imagine available on the world. He tried to slake his thirst with all kinds of things that are foul and empty and useless and pointless. And at the end of the day, he himself had to say, it is all a vexation of spirit and it is vanity. It doesn't really profit me. And wake up this morning, will you? And I also mean that literally for some of you here. Wake up to the fact that your life without Christ is in mortal danger. You may be feeding on the Word. Without the Spirit, it will become a hard ball to sink you into death. And sadly, there's many Christians in the churches today who have that Word of God without the still waters of the dew of the Spirit sitting like a hard ball in their mind. Why is that? Because we read the Scripture quickly. My friends, you do more harm than any good when you do it that way.
that is like a sheep eating grass without drinking is more harm than good. And how many of us are just reading the scriptures and just hurrying on and not laboring in prayer that the still waters of the Holy Spirit be upon our mind? To come to church and not to pray afterwards. And I hesitate to say it. Is in some way worse than not coming to church. Have you ever thought of that? That's like eating the grass in your mind, but not seeking the bedewing influences of the Holy Spirit. And we hurry on, and we forget the sermon maybe before we're out of the yard. But God hasn't forgotten what He said. And therefore, I urge you this day again, think about your choices and think about how you are living and think about how you are coming to this church and think about how you are reading this Bible. Prayer, prayer, prayer is the vital important thing to do, to seek the bedewing of the Holy Spirit on every grass blade of the Word of God we are reading. And how much is that lacking? I was reading one of the commentaries this week. One of the authors said, he says he had an old minister in his olden young days who said to him, he says, "Brother, when it comes to the day that you will be asked to preach a sermon an hour from the moment I ask you," he says, "spend 45 minutes in prayer and 15 minutes with your commentary." And that really convicted me. But that should also convict you. Spend 45 minutes praying and 15 minutes reading is certainly far more profitable than 45 minutes reading and perhaps a minute praying. We need to seek, my friends, the bedewing of the Spirit of God upon our soul. Will this Word of God ever profit us and indeed not become like this hard knot of grass as it was in that sheep that I just referred to? There is no greater joy for a shepherd to see his sheep grazing to their heart content on the bedewed grass in the early morning. Now notice I said early morning. Why early morning? Well, you know, in those days where David was living, in the place where David was living, by 7 o'clock the sun was hot. Hot enough that there'd be not a dewdrop left on the grass. So you have to be there before the sun even begins to rise. There are many here who are staying up long after the sun has set. But I do not believe it's the Word of God in your hand. There's some of you coming here in church to sleep a little farther on Sunday morning. It's not because you had so hard work to do on Saturday night. I don't believe that. But my friend, you are bringing judgment upon your heart when in these ways we come under the ministry of the Word of God, not crying out to heaven for the bedewing of the Holy Spirit on all what you do, praying, seeking for the grace of the Spirit of God to be upon us and upon the Word. And that now brings me to my second thought, to lead a little deeper into these still waters of this message. So let's sing together first. Psalter 390. Verse 1, 2, and 3. "Lord, hear me in distress and regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply." 390. Let's sing 1, 2, and 3.
O Lord, revive my fainting heart. Now there you have one of those sheep in this psalmist who is seeking for refreshment. Refreshment. As his soul struggles through this journey, he says, I stretch my hands, O God, I wait as weary land, wait for refreshing rain. Obviously, this poet hasn't found anything in the world that refreshes him anymore. That's the work of grace. Before, we used to get so satisfied, at least we thought we did, in the things of this world. The joys, the pleasures, the accomplishments, the pursuits we were doing, and all the activities that used to fill us with a certain joy and pleasure. The problem is it never satisfied. It always left you more hollow and more empty. Recognize it. That's why you want a new one. That's why you want new things, new excitement. Jesus says, whenever you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I give you, you shall never thirst for anything else. But that water itself that I give you will become a fountain of everlasting water within you. And that's the Word of God that begins to live. That's the Word of God that begins to speak. Those are the still waters by which the soul is fed, and so the Savior leads sinners unto the still waters to be fed with the Spirit-bedewed Word of God. That's a whole thing, different things than reading the Scriptures. With a mind of inquiry, with a mind of learning. No, here we are speaking about a mind that is grazing and is feasting on the still waters, the words of God that are bedewed with the Spirit. And let me just take four aspects of those still waters that rejoices the soul of the sheep of Jesus Christ. And Christ invites his children to eat and to drink of that abundantly, far more abundantly than what we do. What are some of those still waters then? That's the message of his one-sided, unconditional love and grace. There is no greater encouragement in the Bible but to read of a God who has taken reason out of himself to save sinners like this, me and you. Maybe your hungry soul is hungering after God. Maybe your soul has been beginning to see there is no satisfaction in all what I am and do. Maybe your heart has been longing to find this God and you say, but, look at me. What kind of a man I am. I'm a failure. I'm a transgressor from the womb. I failed in every count. Who am I to think that this God would have anything to do with me? He leadeth me beside the still water. When God opens up in the Scriptures your eyes for the fact that his grace is free, totally free. That the most unworthy and the most ungodly does not have to hesitate a moment to come unto Christ. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you ever tasted the bedewed Scripture that Jesus spoke there? That's a still water. To hear that this God is moved within himself to love and to choose and to care and to shepherd sinners like we are. Friend, do not look at yourself. That's a barren patch. Don't search within yourself. That's finding grass in the desert. You'll find no life there. No hope there. Nothing green there. But look unto this shepherd, Jesus Christ, and him alone
shines the glory of the heart of God. Warm, loving, inviting, calling, receiving, reassuring. That is a still water. As you sit there in the morning with your scriptures open and your heart yearning and seeking outside of yourself, and you find gems of this Spirit-sprinkled scripture. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You ever tasted that? Has it ever become sweet in your mouth? You are more than of that same truth. Still waters. As you ever struggle with the sight of your sins, and you struggle perhaps under the very feelings of the weight of all the guilty things that weigh on your conscience, try to clean it. But you've heard it from the scripture, though you wash yourself with salt and vinegar and acid, you can never take a stain of your sin away. And see, when you come with that burden to these scriptures and praying, O God, as a weary soul, I wait and faint for thee. You discover in this word the still waters, and Jesus himself will lead a seeking sinner to those. It's his work. Open the scriptures and pray on your knees to ask him to lead you to the still waters of the all-atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this grass blade that is bedewed with the Spirit. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. That's a scripture that stands written over every page of the Bible. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Come, my friend. Yes, your sin is heaven high. Yes, your sins and your guilt is a stain and a blot so big, bigger than the Pacific Ocean and all oceans together. Yes, it is so innumerably guilty. But the blood of Jesus Christ abounds over all that. What a sweet still water we may see in the scriptures that there is hope for Manasseh, for Saul of Tarsus, for a Rahab the harlot, for a Bathsheba as wicked as David's, that there is blood that is able to cleanse us from all sin. What a sweet, sweet still water when our soul may drink and eat of that joyous message that Paul spoke while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Oh, pray that Christ would lead you to see the cross as John Bunyan saw it. And he lost the burden, didn't he? As he looked on the raised cross of Christ. That's a still water, my friend. And just hearing about it, that's not enough. No, we need to taste the sweetness of the Christ redeeming work. The still waters, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now there's another one. As you struggle to think of how can I ever keep that law of God? How can I ever keep it? I am trying, and every day I weary myself to be obedient, to be humble, to be pure of mind, to be gentle in manners, to be loving in my approach, to be patient in my answers, to be trustful in my thinking. And all these issues that I want to do and I find no strength in me, I fail every minute. Still water, listen to this. As he hangs on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." Not only paying for the debts, but also bringing in the very righteousness of obedience you and I can bring in. I find an exceeding sweet water and still water to drink of that truth that Jesus Christ finished everything that we sinners can never finish. Can never bring. Can never bring before God to be made acceptable in the Beloved. You see, to be led to that still water of those bedewed grass truths of the Scripture. There is no sweeter rest, my friends, and the rest you may obtain when you come to Christ. Therefore he says, come unto me. I see you sitting, oh poor man. You've been trying all your life already to be a better person. And you think perhaps you need it in order to come to me, as we think so often. I'm seeing you sitting, young lady. You're trying to make that young lady inside of you a better young lady. And you fail and you fail. He says, come unto me, you wearied sinner. Come unto me. I will give you rest. I will take over your burden. I will take over your impossibility. I will take over what you cannot do for God, and I will do it for you. In you. I will do it all. Come unto me then. Now that's a sweet water. And oh, what unsweetened it is. Oh, that's a still water. When the Spirit of God would lead you to that very moment, that you may say, oh gracious God, here I am. Though I shake with unbelief, I believe. And I want to put all my hope and all my confidence in Thee alone. As I sat next to Arnie's grandfather on Friday afternoon, I asked the dear man, can you die? Yes. Yes, it is at peace with him. And I asked him, what is your ground of saying that? Why can you say that? Now, what would this ground be? What would the ground be for a man who has altogether lived a life that is imperfect? As all of you know, you are living lives that are imperfect, and you cannot meet the perfect God with an imperfect record. And this man is dying. And he says, I am at peace. And as I read Psalm 46, the psalm I preached for Anya and Holly, and that right early, he stopped me and he says, oh, early. I wish it would be right now. He would come and take me. How can a man say that? Either he's blind for what's coming, or he has seen something of the still water of the precious Savior who says, come unto me and rely on me. And all those who have put that trust on me will not be put to shame. I will not let you down. That's a still water. Sweet. It is his promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee while you travel through this wilderness. No, I have not promised it will be an easy journey. I have never promised to you that I will not lead you to the valleys of the shadows of death. Not only once. No. Those sheep went through that every season again. As they went, and I shall tell you that later, to the highlands, to green grass. And later in the year, back again. And they each time had to go to the valley of the shadow of death. That's not once. That's not just the last part of the journey, that verse. That's life's journey. We'll go through that repeatedly. But he said, I'll be with you. That's sweet. That's a still water. I'll be with you. Oh, when God leads his children to so rest and so rejoice and experience what we read earlier today in that chapter of Jeremiah, when he says in that chapter, these words, thus saith the Lord, I will satiate, that means I will drench, completely drench the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. I'll lead them beside the still waters. So, my dear congregation, may I just let the voice of the shepherd speak one more time to you this morning. He stood there in the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. That's a feast in which they carried water every day from one place in the city towards the altar. And it says, on the last day of that great feast, Jesus stood up and he just didn't preach. It says in the Greek, he cried. That's loud. So everyone would hear it. He cried. And I am not needing to cry it. I have a microphone. But will you please listen to what Jesus says to you now, this moment, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, which he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they which would believe on him should receive. See, that's a source of satisfaction in yourself, the Holy Spirit. Will you heed that voice this morning? He actually means it. He says it to you and me personally. And don't answer him, I can't come, Lord, unless it is given. Don't answer him that. At least not in the state that so many of people do when I hear that saying. I can't do nothing. It has to be given. Well, who is going to give it to you then? But the one who calls you to come unto him, he it is who calls. He says, if any man thirst. Now, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for happiness. I'm thirsty for security. I'm thirsty for salvation. I'm thirsty for all the things that are good. Are you thirsty for God? Maybe you've never recognized that. Maybe you don't even think about God. But ultimately, friends, our thirst have come because we left God. Adam and Eve had no thirst in paradise. Our thirst has been self-created because we left the very God who is our creator. And now he has come back on this earth and he so openly cries, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, get on your knees this morning before that great Lord Jesus and tell him, Lord, I'm not thirsty for thee. I'm not thirsty for God. I'm not thirsty for the things I ought to be thirsty for. But thou hast said, I am a thirsty man indeed. You are a thirsty man. But he didn't say in this text, if you're thirsty for me, or you're thirsty for God, or you're thirsty for the good things, if any man thirst, and we all thirst, let him come unto me. Wrestle on your knees this week with Jesus. No, not with Jesus, before Jesus. And then spread it out before him. Tell him. Call upon him. Put your finger by this very word and plead it back to him, Lord, thou hast said it indeed. If any man come unto thee and drink, teach me how to drink. Teach me how to come. Teach me, Lord, and pray. Pray over this scripture this morning. That the Spirit would bedew the thoughts that have been spoken. And how tragic, O sheep of Jesus, when we are grazing in the wrong pastures and drinking from the foul waters. Oh, let's examine our feeding habits. The shepherd knows that without him you can do nothing. He knows that. And he told us that. Without me you cannot bring forth any fruit. Therefore abide in me. Stay with me. And how easy it is to be distracted. I only have to quote this text and you'll get it. Martha. Martha. distracted by lawful things, but omitting to feed at the green pastures of Jesus' feet. Excuse? No, not. Jesus didn't excuse her at all. He rebuked her. Mary has chosen the good part, that I will not take away from her. Well, what's the good part? Oh, she was sitting before the shepherd to grace to be fed on the still waters of his word. Amen. Let's pray. O faithful and merciful shepherd, why are we such fools to drink from those fouled sources of this earth? Why are we bypassing these free and these pure waters of thy gospel, which thou with so much intensity and love proclaimed again this morning also to us? And Lord, it is because we are full of sinners, foolhardy, stubborn, wicked in our deep fall. But we pray thee that thou would bless these moments we have been this morning under the word of God, to lead us to these still waters in thy gracious covenantal gifts of love, of grace and good. And we pray that thou wilt turn the convictions or impressions that we may have received this morning into abiding, life-changing habits and walks of life. And we bless thee, O great Jehovah, for thy willingness and love to become a shepherd of such a lot. There really appears nothing to be gained from any of us but trouble and pain and disappointment and dishonor and grief. And yet thou lovest such that thou wast even willing to lay down thy life for them and to search them again and again, as we all are friends, crawlers, wandering away from thee. Truly, there is none like thee. Show thy glory to them who will not believe thee. Deliver those who are in their unbelief. Turn us away from going to these foul fountains of this poor world. Whatever the name of those fountains are, they ultimately are the same, Lord. Vanity, vanity of all vanities. Lead us, O God, lead us ever nearer to thee. And enable thy wearied and sorrowful sheep to drink abundantly from these free waters of thy river of grace. Lord, thou knowest they may not often see the water, or may be filled with fear to drink from the water. But wilt thou today give those moments we may drink from the waters thou prepared. Hear us, O gracious Lord, in the pardoning of all the sins that cleave to what we did and said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing Psalm 310? And let us sing verse 1 and verse 3 and 6. Let's do 1, 3 and 6. I love the Lord for my request and humble plea. He made his care. And just one announcement about the Bible study on Wednesday evening. It is not quite sure yet, but it is likely that Mr. Block will be buried on Thursday. And I was asked to lead that funeral. So if that's on Thursday morning, I have to leave on Wednesday evening. So if that's the case, then our Bible study for Wednesday will be delayed for 1 week, till the following Wednesday, Lord willing. But maybe no more tonight, so that at least we can verify it for sure. So 310, verse 1, 3, and 6.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord now and let us go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.